I'm Barbara Turley, and you're watching another episode of Feminine Wealth TV, the show that uncovers the diamond tips on creating truly conscious wealth from world shakers, change makers, and wealth creators. So as you can see, I'm joined on the show today by not one, but two guests. I've got Kay Scott and Lisa Sullivan-Smith from The Clinic here in Sydney.
Girls, hi, Barbara.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Barbara.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for joining me on the show, but also thank you for allowing us to film in this totally stylish and totally decadent skin rejuvenation oasis here in Sydney. I love this place. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
So, why don't we just start with, tell us a bit about The Clinic, why it's so special and what you guys do.
Okay, so myself and Lisa have had The Clinic for almost 15 years. Mm. We think it's special because not only is it an anti-aging centre, but also a centre of excellence for skin. We think we're very proud of our achievement and our business.
Yes.
Such as you said, beautiful oasis.
Yeah.
People walk in the doors, feel completely relaxed straight away. And I think we provide an excellent standard of clinical service across the board for all our treatments that we provide.
And I love the use of the word clinical, because it gets away from this beauty therapy.
Yeah. So yeah. We use the word clinical because we're both nurses. We only employ nurses and doctors.
Right.
So as Lisa fondly mentions on our website, if you want beauty treatment, go to Betty's Beauty Box.
Oh, that's right, that's all
that. But,
yeah.
You know, we do proper medical treatments. And what that means and clinical standards mean is that we also have to stand by medical standards for medical procedures. So it's a very, very safe environment. Everything we do has clinical documentation and proof that it works.
Yeah. Which is bringing that to an industry, I think, that the beauty industry can be a bit
Well, I think the problem is now, Barbara, with, say, for example, we will use injectables, okay? So a beauty therapist can get a doctor to come to their premises, do the injection, but there's no emergency procedures in place, there's no follow-through. So all those kind of safety and follow-up customer service that we do provide is not available when you go to something like a beauty
And
therapist.
You don't really know, I think, when you're out there as a consumer, you know, looking for the service. You know, but I just love the fact that we've got clinical meets stylish, as it is so beautiful in here. And I did read on the website, actually, Lisa, that was your quote. I think it said, if you want an aromatherapy facial, go to Betty's Beauty Box. If you want results, you go to The Clinic.
Absolutely.
And I love the fact that I've gotten to know you girls over the years, and it's that straight talking kind of no crap attitude that I love. And I think, you know, do you think that's been a bit of a secret of your success in this business?
I think that Kay and I are both honest.
Yeah.
We're both hardworking. We saw, basically we saw that the market was lacking beauty with medical treatments and lush environments to work in. Kay and I both come from a nursing background, and we both have pharmaceutical background as well, where we used to call on doctor surgeries that were old, dirty, lacked beautiful
furnishings
and no water to drink, no nice teas. And Kay and I saw that we could perhaps provide an environment that women would feel comfortable in, and also the services with high service, high customer service, which we pride ourselves on.
Yeah, absolutely. So I want to take a step back. You both started out, as you said, as registered nurses. Where did the passion, you know, where did the passion for nursing originally come from?
She's the Irish one. That's right. So I grew up like you, Barbara, in Ireland, and it was obviously a little bit before your time. Back when I left school in the 80s,
everybody became a nurse.
It was either nursing, you didn't have options as a fit as a woman. So it was so it was nursing, teaching, civil service. You know, in my year when I finished school, probably I think two or three girls went to university. Mm. It's not that I couldn't have gone, but just the expectation for women. My brother went, you know, so that it just wasn't there that you were going to do that basic.
And the
interesting
thing is that was only in the 80s. Like,
we're
not talking about the 1920s here.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fascinating.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm hospital trained, which is gone now. So when I had to go live in Ireland, so we had to live in dorms for six weeks and a bit. So, you know, I think why I probably stayed in love with nursing is the friends I made.
I think a lot of nurses say that.
And I think that carries through then, you know, when it comes to teamwork and your own business and you know, mixing with different, a nursing teacher to mix with different personality types.
Yeah, of course,
so
yeah.
That's why I did it. I was drawn to it and I loved it from the very beginning.
Mm. And Lisa, what about you? Where did your love affair with nursing start?
I guess it was actually my mother's advice to me.
Yeah.
And both my family, I pride them on being working class, uneducated, people who didn't go to university back in the 60s.
Mm.
So my mother suggested that I did nursing, and her famous quote was to marry the doctor down the road like Kathy Conway.
Yeah, get in there.
But, yeah,
get in there.
I wish I listened to her. But,
you became a businesswoman,
I must say, though, that I've always had a passion for the medical field. When I was in year nine, I said, and I worked in the children's hospital in the physio department.
Mm.
And so the medical industry has always impressed me, and
yeah,
it was basically my passion. So
yeah,
when I decided, you know, HSC's 18 years of age, what am I going to do? My mum said, just do nursing, and I did it. So, and I've enjoyed it,
and
I loved it.
It's very grounding, I think. It's a very grounding of a career to start out in.
Mm-hmm.
So you did the nursing. Is that where you both met? When you were nursing?
No, so I'm
okay,
a little bit older than Lisa, so I did it really when I finished, I travelled, and when I came here and married someone who's Australian, so that's
yeah,
hence why I stayed here. But I actually set the business up 12 months before I met Lisa, with another lady, and she got ill, and Lisa was working.
Yes.
Yeah, she had just started for a very short time, but we instantly got on very well.
We met at a conference.
Yeah,
initially.
Yeah.
So I was working for a French cosmeceutical
company yes,
with French products that was
yeah,
very, very hard to sell. And Kay was my first customer, I think.
Yes.
And
we had
a mutual bonding, and then we just got talking and did coffee and what have you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a new equipment called Intense Pulse Light machine was coming out.
That's
and
right.
Kay suggested, you know, would you like to come and work a couple of days as a nurse?
Yeah.
And I said, I actually miss the patient interaction.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd love to. I've done enough with the sales. I miss the nursing. So I guess I'd love to come and work. And basically
that was
my journey. Two days, was 3 days, was 4 days,
yeah,
and here we are now.
Partner.
Yeah.
So when the business partner left, Lisa stepped in.
Right. So what I'm interested to talk about now, actually, just that you brought up the business partnership thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have had this business for 15 years.
15 years
of a great partnership
yeah,
and a very successful business and a great friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are actually friends outside,
yes,
outside of work. And I'm really fascinated. So many women in particular, we love going into business together. We get a great idea, you know, with your friend, and you decide we're all fizzed up about an idea and
yeah,
you think, let's go into business together. And so often it fails because the vision is not aligned.
Yeah.
And before you know it, the business is gone and the relationship is
gone.
How have you girls maintained your friendship and the business partnership over the years?
I guess the key to us was that we actually weren't friends when
yes,
we started.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we had a liking towards each other.
Yeah.
And I guess
it's like an arranged marriage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An arranged marriage. And we got on well together.
Yeah.
And then I guess because we both have high work ethics and we
yeah,
both have the drive, we both have the ambition. The need for success.
Yeah.
We've just grown together.
Yeah.
And we're almost like sisters.
Yeah.
And it might
yeah,
sound corny, but we
no,
you know we have a, we go away. Every year we go away on a lovely
yeah,
holiday to try
conference. Yeah, of course,
but we do that to expand our education.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we love to shop. We love to
yeah,
go to nice restaurants.
You're lucky because you've created what I think a lot of women would love. I mean, a
yeah,
business partnership that does become a friendship and
yeah,
works. And
yeah,
the aligned vision you mentioned.
But I think, as
important.
Lisa said, the key is we weren't friends to start with. We've become best friends.
Yes.
Over
yeah,
the years.
Yeah.
And the other thing too is we keep our lives separately. Like Lisa's a different stage in her life. Her children are smaller. My
yeah,
mom has grown up. We don't socialise together. We're not
right,
in mother's pockets. We spend a lot of time together.
Yeah.
We
exercise
we
together.
We exercise together. We go to the same hairdresser.
Yeah.
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 No. So there's a lot of things that we do together, but at the same time, socially, we kind of, we do live
we've got
the same
our own lives.
We've got
yeah,
our own
yeah,
lives. I think that's the key, because we speak probably every day.
Yeah, three times a day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
what would you say, what has been the hardest thing about being in business, being in a partnership together in a business?
You know, I just, when we looked at the questions for today, myself and Lisa, look, we have not had a fight in 15 years.
I was
we have
yeah,
not. But
is it the laser that you get rid of the cat claws when you have the fight?
Well, we actually don't. We, and,
yeah,
and
it hasn't been hard.
And
yeah,
actually, it's been easy. But my first time around, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
So
a lot of people say a lot of business partnerships are like that.
Yeah.
They're a nightmare. Yeah.
They're a nightmare. And I think the fact that everything was in place this time around,
yeah,
and even though the original business part was very short,
yeah,
it was a disaster.
Right.
You know?
So you've had experience.
I've had experience, and I think that everything this time you know, proper partnership agreements, lawyers, everything like that, to what happens if I die, if Lisa dies,
what happens.
It's all there, and the rules and the ground rules are set from the beginning.
The rules of the game are set.
Yeah. Everything from, can you imagine in this industry, who gets, you know, do the family get free treatments, do this, get, so everything was being knotted everything.
No one thinks of those things, actually.
But no one thinks of those things, and they're the things that can cause so much grief. Mm.
Are you comfortable sharing at all some of the things that went wrong in the original partnership? You don't have to if you don't want to.
Basically, I think we were very good friends, and that was one of the issues. Two, we were at very different stages in our life, and we had a different vision. I mean, when I started the business with this particular business partner, and we were very good friends, I have the greatest respect for her still.
Yeah.
You know, we're
are
not
you still
not,
friends.
No.
Yeah, that's the sad part. Yeah.
And but I think that you have to kind of. It was some stage you have to say, well, that's it, you know.
Yeah,
it was amicably done, a bit like a divorce.
Yes.
Marriage. But that's what...
You got married quickly after.
Yeah, on the rebound.
Yeah.
I think that's the problem, though, with businesses. Like, you know, I think... So you, I went in as a business partner, and then the ground rules weren't set, and we started because we both had small children, and we thought, you know what, we can work part-time, and this can be like a small industry. And I could see the potential to grow it.
Yes.
She became unwell and didn't want to grow it.
Yeah. So your visions became misaligned. Yes.
Absolutely like
yeah.
that. So then when Lisa was there, I knew that she had the same vision as me.
Yeah.
And she had this, came from the same background. This other person was a nurse as well, but I just think that the relationship was too close.
And what about, so Lisa, when you came in and joined, because often that can be, it's different when you start out together.
Yeah.
But you came into something that had already kind of been formed and the vision, I guess, was there. What was your vision? I mean, did you come in and see that vision and go, wow, that is so aligned with what I'd love to do?
Well, I think I'm actually, first of all, very grateful that I was given the opportunity to prove myself. But then again, I must have been a good employee to be given that opportunity. But I guess we were lucky because at that stage we had this new fabulous piece of machinery and the business was pumping. And
we worked
so hard, but, you know, at the end of the day we were exhausted, but we could see the end result. So I guess that was a taste of if you work hard, you know, your goals will be achieved. So we were lucky in that respect.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I always had respect. And I've said to Lisa from the very beginning, you're the boss now as well.
Yes,
it was always,
because there can be that feeling of,
but there was
I don't really want to step up and say anything because I'm not really a
partner. She was fine.
She was the boss.
But we both bring separate things to the table.
That's important.
We both have great strengths together, but also separately we align with each other.
So what advice, I mean, I want to get some, I've been trying to get this from a lot of my guests actually, particularly on business partnerships and joint ventures and things like that. A couple of key tips that you would say to anyone out there thinking of a business partnership or a business owner who's thinking of, you know, joint venturing or moving into that next realm.
I think you have to get really good advice to with the lawyers, to have the contract agreements set up.
Yeah.
The accountant to understand basically the ins and outs of a business, even though you think you know, you don't know. You need a good cash flow.
You need to
be backed by a good cash flow.
So many businesses fail because of lack of cash flow.
Yes, absolutely. And you have to understand certain things in business. You know, it's easier never to discount but to add value to your business. You know, set the ground rules on how we're going to treat family and friends.
Yeah.
Understand the importance of working together as a team and providing your staff with the environment that you want to work in.
So back to the point on cash flow, I think it's really important too when you set a business up is to agree to a certain level of cash flow and what the results are going to be and when to stop. I mean, so many times we hear of people whose their house has gone up and they've lost everything. But I think you really have to have enough cash flow that you can see whatever their 12-month plan, your 2-year plan, your 5-year plan.
And what you're going to do if it runs out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what the arrangement is. And, you know...
If you have to dissolve the business.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, and how much risk it is to each person. Because one person may... $50,000 may not be a risk to them, but to
the
person could be their house.
Yeah.
So I think that's really important. The ground rules are really, really important.
You know, what I want to stress here for the viewers as well is something that you said, Lisa, and... you know, it's the power of your team.
Mm-hmm.
Like you have to have, because one thing I say is you can't do this on your own. You need to have the proper lawyers. You need to have a proper accountant.
Mm-hmm.
You need to pay for
yeah.
these things.
Mm-hmm.
They're worth
and they're,
so
the
and they're expensive.
Yes.
They're expensive.
So you have to factor it in.
Mm-hmm.
So before you start a business,
you
need to factor
anything,
this stuff in.
You have to lay
yeah.
the money out for good advice. The other thing too, which I'll just say, I think
mm-hmm.
women in business are treated very differently.
Yes.
To men.
I'm interested to know how you thought
yeah.
that.
And I think that, you know, I will be standing talking to someone, a supplier, buying a $150,000 piece of equipment.
Mm.
And if there's any man in the room, even though he's got nothing to do with the decision,
yeah.
they will automatically talk to him. So you
oh,
have to get over.
Furious.
It is
infuriating,
but I've
learned
to get
it.
Over. And then, you know, women who are strong, and myself and Lisa have a very strong
mm.
personality, and we've got the reputation in business, not outside, not to our clients, but as being very strong,
mm.
almost, what's the word I would use? Like someone sent me, told me the other day, I sent them a brutal email. No, the email wasn't brutal. The email
was
business like.
Yeah.
You didn't show for an appointment, or you didn't. You cancelled at the last minute.
Mm.
It's not acceptable to me. That is just a straight.
Mm.
Yeah,
if a man had said that,
there
wouldn't
have
been deceit.
Yeah.
Well, so
it,
I think
yeah.
we're the worst enemies. Because,
it's
and it's usually a woman that will.
Yeah,
do that.
But it's this whole thing at the moment. Actually, I don't know if you've seen. It's all over social media right now. Sheryl Sandberg, who's the CEO of Facebook,
yeah.
right?
You can't
and
have
she,
it all.
Yeah, she's
yeah.
out there. I love her.
So
she's saying that girls. She's got this. What's it called? Don't be bossy or
yeah,
no, no to bossy campaign. Because
yeah.
girls are being described as bossy.
Bossy,
but
they're leaders.
Boss. Yeah.
Yeah.
How do we solve this problem? Because it's an unconscious bias then that
yeah.
we're brought up with.
Yeah.
That as girls we're afraid to say anything.
Yeah.
And we're afraid to be, and we're called men.
Yeah.
We're called like bulldogs.
Bulldogs.
In business.
That's exactly
mm.
the reputation
mm.
we have, unfortunately.
Mm.
But
yeah.
I don't care. I think
business
you have to. Yeah. And it's exactly what she says. You know, we see little girls in the playground. You know, in charge. Like
yeah.
I often say that to Lisa, but Lisa. Her little girl is in charge, and I
yeah.
and the people say she's bossy or can say she's bossy, but no, she's just a leader.
She's
yeah.
stepping up.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
stepping up.
Yeah.
Whereas a boy does that, there's no big deal.
There's no big deal.
No,
at
he's
all.
Captain
no.
of the football
yeah.
team, or his sister is there.
Good point.
And it's celebrated. Yeah,
yeah, celebrated.
You
yeah.
know, I think it's actually I had a girl on the show a few weeks ago called Debbie Spellman,
mm-hmm.
and Debbie does she's deals in self love.
Yeah.
And that's her business. She's a therapist. And she sees problems all the time with women, like quite qualified
yeah.
women. Like really, you know, women coming through who have very low self-esteem.
Yes.
And self-worth issues that's causing issues in their businesses then around how they make money.
Yeah.
Because they're afraid to ask.
Afraid to
for
ask.
The money.
Yeah.
And discounting.
Mm.
You mentioned discounting.
Yeah.
A lot of them are discounting to try because they're afraid people won't buy from
them.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we look after very powerful women here. And it's
yeah.
amazing. Because a lot of people come here, not a lot, but it's one of the reasons they come is to feel better about themselves. But
yeah.
often, you know, I say to them, you can't fix this unless you fix
unless
it
you
here.
Fix inside.
In here.
Absolutely.
And these are really powerful CEOs of companies.
Yeah.
That
lawyers,
doctors that
yeah.
really feel a very powerful, very touchable, who feel they
mm.
can't ask,
mm.
that they cannot, you know, that I haven't got
it's the confidence. It's a problem. I mean, I've spent years in the corporate world,
yeah.
and I know that I've suffered nothing.
Mm.
And I'm a strong
yeah.
woman,
yeah.
and
yeah.
I think, you know, but I was bullied.
Mm.
I was
yeah.
bullied in a job when I was in my 20s,
yeah.
very badly.
Yeah.
I just can't understand how I wasn't able to say anything.
Yeah.
I've definitely gotten underpaid.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't asked for, you know,
yeah.
there's been things like that, and I think our generation we're the ones who are facing it
yeah.
massively because we're entering the realm of business and money
yeah.
and leadership in a
yeah.
big way.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that our next generation.
Well, I've got a 17-year-old girl
yeah.
who I would hope, but you just don't know. You would hope
yeah.
that she watches myself, who, you know,
yeah.
works and has her own
She's watching
business,
television as well.
But she's
not
also
television.
Watching the Kardashians, so that doesn't
know
either. So, you know, so there's
yeah.
two different types.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But what I love about this discussion, though, is that we're having a discussion, you know, you run a skin rejuvenation, a laser clinic,
yeah.
but yet we're talking about the things that, you know, like it's not just,
it.
Yeah, it's not
yeah.
just about, it's not just about what you do, or but even helping women, you know,
yeah.
they're coming in, but there's a whole host of problems
mm-hmm.
there. Yeah.
Well, that's probably, you know, I feel like I'm a counsellor. Every
yeah,
day I can answer any relationship problem.
You've seen it all.
And even someone was expressing ways to celebrate her husband's 50th birthday. And she said she wanted to give 50 ways of why she loved her husband. And then I was saying, well, why don't you do a tree with leaves?
Oh,
and then she said, you know, graphic arts, you know, let's just paint it. And, but so every day we come up with new challenges,
yeah.
and it's all getting to know the client. But there's lots of low self-esteem in women.
And the more successful they are, the self-esteem is at the lowest.
That's exactly what Danny and I were speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
saying that it's not. You think it's the girls that are, you know, uneducated or
no.
Okay. It's women. It's women at all.
Yeah.
The spectrum of women are suffering from these problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fortunately or unfortunately,
yeah.
they actually want to spend the money, and they actually sometimes don't even care how much the money costs because they think that by fixing this fixes everything in life. But
yeah.
sometimes they can. Sometimes it does.
Sometimes it doesn't. Yeah. Look, so I want to talk a little bit now about, I'm always really interested in business models.
Yes.
For me, you know, I watch people starting businesses, and getting the model wrong, particularly in the beginning, is what can collapse a lot of startups.
Yeah.
Now, looking at what you girls have done, like, I just, your business, you know, from the marketing right through to the customer service to the look and feel, everything, to me anyway, looks like just such a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
But I'm interested to know, like, way back in the beginning, did you understand the importance of getting strategy right, do you think? Where did that sort of...
I think in the beginning we had a strategy, very short term strategy. So we didn't think it through. But one thing I will say, because there's so many clinics like ours that open, one thing I would say that's made us very successful is that we didn't rush into anything. So our strategy was it was just one service we started off, which was laser hair removal.
That's right. Yeah.
And then we didn't just have, like we have now, 20 services. So once we got that right, ironed all the problems out, then we went to the next service, which was IPL.
And peels.
And peels,
yeah.
for skin. And then we took our time with that. And then we got into injectables. So every 6 months or a year, whenever we felt comfortable, once you had a general understanding of the services, it was easy to add in. But the biggest mistake we would have made was strategically not, was just to buy everything in one go.
Oh, and try to be all things to
all
people.
All things to all people,
yes.
you can't
yes.
do. So I would say, from a strategy point of view, in the beginning, that's what we did. We just took it easy and then really got everything perfect for it to the next step.
You know, it's interesting you say that, actually, because another girl I had on the show, Wendy Mack, a few weeks ago, she's like a sort of she's a marketing guru, and she said the same thing. She said, in order to become the go-to expert in your industry, you need to start out being the go-to in something really niche, very specific.
Yeah.
And then you branch that.
Exactly.
Before you know it, you're the go-to in the whole industry.
Yeah, in the industry. And that's exactly
and that's what happened to you girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, it's a common denominator across the...
But it's interesting, though, getting back to women in business and services that are provided. When Kay and I, in a male, predominantly back then, 15 years ago, a male-dominated field, Kay and I would be invited to conferences or dinners run by certain companies.
Mm.
And no one would want to talk to us.
Really?
Because we were sort of pledged, oh, they're the nurses.
I was just going
to
say,
the nurses.
Nurses.
Yeah, we're the nurses and plus we employed a doctor.
Awesome.
So instead of the doctor employing the nurses, we're moving the tables a bit. So moving forward 15 years, everybody wants to talk to us because they want to discuss ideas. They wanted to say, ask us all the time, how do we do this? What do you think of this? What's this, you know, blah, blah, blah. So it's interesting.
They want to know the secret of your success.
Absolutely.
Because you have been massively successful.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's we have to fight them off now when we go for dinners. Yeah.
How do you go from beginning to, like, is how big is marketing in your business and PR and branding and stuff like that?
Yeah.
I kind of look after the business and marketing side, and
well,
it's
actually,
more
that's
clinical.
To, yeah,
so that's
to
what we're doing. So Lisa does all the clinical, she does all the accounts, and I do some clinical, but I look after more the business marketing. But obviously, with Lisa's involved in everything, but I kind of do on the day to day. That's how it works.
Right, okay.
So I think, you know, the biggest changes, I mean, back, you know, when we started, no one was really advertising, so we just print advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And then we rapidly, not rapidly, but for 5 years, it was all print.
Went with Courier.
Went with Courier, all the local stuff.
Yeah.
And we spent a lot of money on that, but it worked.
Yeah.
So then, you know, you think, well, it's still not really working. And then, the next thing was obviously SEO and internet,
websites.
And
your website's fabulous.
Thank
you. Website.
Thank you. So we did that. And next thing, it was social media, which is... And exactly what you're doing now. So, you know, we in the beginning we had our own PR agency,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of did all the print, and we've got such a strong relationship with print media, we didn't really need it. But we've just employed a PR agency, the audience agency, to look after our social media, because you know, things are moving, like it's the YouTubers and the next celebrities and
yeah.
the next experts and the Instagrams
and
the
bloggers
and
yeah.
So,
and plus we're running our business, so we haven't got time to be doing all that, you know, because we are the business.
You
working
are
the
business.
Business.
I mean,
yeah.
that is a challenge actually a lot of businesses face. Like when you're so busy working in the business, how do you find time to work on the business?
Well, I try and allocate a certain amount
yeah.
of time to do it. And I think if you have to outsource, like we do, everything is outsourced. From an admin point of view, everything from you know accountants to you know all that kind of financial side is all outsourced. And now so is the PR and you know things like which we have a small team, but the team that we do have, like our practice manager has also got a marketing degree. You know, so
yes, you
we're trying
cross skills,
And so our next challenge is social media.
So, well, I love the fact, though, that we have to recognize it. Well, no, I think the fact that you've recognized, though, that you need to do all these things to keep the business on track, but also that you can't do it all yourselves.
You can't.
So, because you're so busy actually running this business that you know you need to outsource them.
Plus, at the end of the day, we've got a family.
That's our other job, and we go home
to the unpaid work.
The other thing that's frustrating about the new wave of social media is and web SEOs is you're surrounded by very young people.
They're
quick and they're challenging, and it's a different generation, female, male. We've got like our IT guy's 20, but he's changed our business.
Has he?
Unbelievably. He's a very smart.
So it's worth taking on sometimes you think, oh, is he a bit young or are they a bit
young?
Yeah, we have to get past that. I find that very challenging. Because they'll come in and they can chew gum and they can.
But we just have to learn how to deal with it. Because
does he create your app? Because I know you have the Fresh Face app.
No, that's actually a company. That's actually a company app that was developed by one of our suppliers, but we were going to do an app as well.
You're going to do an app,
so I mean, I don't think an app's the be all and end all, but
I think it's part of the puzzle. It's a bit of fun thing, but that's why I wouldn't spend too much money on apps, because I know people out there are spending a fortune on apps.
But the other thing too is within our industry, it's quite confidential. We can't build apps for other people to see.
So
we have to be quite careful as to what we do, because another thing with regards to social media, where you can go to the famous hair salons and they can show they've got the it girl and this celebrity and this person from Channel 9. No one wants to really
put themselves out there and say.
Well, they do if they say for skin, but they might be coming in for injectable. So we have to, it's quite tricky in this particular
thing. And we've got a strategy to deal with that now, but it's.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what it is yet.
So I want to talk a bit about it, because I think when I look at a business like this, I mean, I just think, wow, what a gold mine. I mean, you know, the whole emotional triggers for people to buy are so easy, because all us women in particular, like as you say, we're all trying to stay young.
Yes.
But I want to talk a little bit about the tricky side of the business. Like, I mean, how do you use the word lucrative, but what's the trickiest part of this business?
It's an expensive business to run.
Yeah.
Okay, so if I do a man, when he sits on my bed and looks at Bondi Beach with the beautiful view and the lovely paintings and what have you, the first thing he says, gosh, you must be cracking it. The product is expensive, the insurance for the doctors are expensive, the wages are expensive, the rent is expensive, workers'
and
compensation.
And the feel that you want
is expensive. It's a very, very expensive business to run.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's...
And is there competition coming in? Is it rife?
Yeah, you know what? The competition is rife, and there's actually a place downstairs who does everything that we do, but half the price. More than half the price, but there's no customer service, there's no niceness, you're not guaranteed to get the same person every treatment, there's no medical follow-up, and then often if I walk past and I look at the girls, they all look dishevelled there's no pride in their work.
Yeah.
So that's the difference between, and a lot of our clients have been honest with us and said they have gone downstairs. They even tried a service, because it's cheap and everyone's on budgets and we understand that, but they always come back.
And yes, you have to resist the temptation to go that route as well and to drop because it's not your value.
No.
So it's about sticking, and I love that about this business.
Yes.
You stick to what your value proposition is to the market and the level of the market that you're playing
at.
Yeah.
You know, people say, I always say, you know, we see ourselves as a premier brand in the clinic.
Mm.
You know, Louis Vuitton are going to drop their prices.
Or discount their prices.
So, you know, I think we're trying to, you know, compare apples with apples. And
At the same time, we're not greedy. So we understand that we've gone through the GFC and people are losing their jobs. And our business didn't suffer at all with the GFC. In fact, it actually rose
due to the GFC. Yeah.
But, you know, some women had to cut back on their nanny so they couldn't afford the treatments.
Yeah.
And then they would say, you know, I've only got $500 to spend. What can I have for $500?
Yeah,
so we can work something out. We're not greedy.
No.
Greedy women who say you've got to spend this, blah, blah,
and
blah.
And we have a loyalty to our clients who have loyalty to us as
yes.
well.
We do, yeah.
So
yeah,
some of our clients have been coming from since the doors have been opened.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's extraordinary that the loyalty they have
yeah.
for
I think,
us.
I think the loyalty that you have built is probably one of the secrets of your success. So As I've been calling all of my guests on the show, as savvy femtrepreneurs of the future, isn't that good? What does the future hold for each of you? What's your big vision for this business?
Oh, I think, I feel like I've still got a few more years in me.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, yeah.
The tank there.
And thank goodness I'm in the anti-aging business
yeah.
where I can't go to, in my little wheelchair. I've got the enthusiasm, so I'm not
yeah.
bored. But Kay and I do have a few visions in the back
yes.
of pants. But
for
we obviously
growth.
Yes, for growth. But obviously it's confidential at this
yeah.
stage.
Yeah.
But we're always thinking. So we don't sit back and go, we've done it, we've made it, high five, it's
yeah.
easy. We're constantly thinking. We're watching.
Evolving.
We go overseas once a year. We learn from New York, Los Angeles, Paris. We've done it all. We see how they work.
Yeah.
And then it's interesting, though, because often a company will bring out a guest speaker, a hot person from Los Angeles, and then we go there, we go, oh, that's dirty, or that cushion's not right. And they're walking around with big drinks in their hands, and you just sort of think, no, that's why we're successful.
That's why you're successful.
That's because we don't do that. We have a very high standard, you know. And I think with nursing, you taught cleanliness,
yeah,
aseptic techniques, sterility, all these things that are embedded in our mind, you know. And I think that is one of the reasons why we're successful.
Yeah. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think that the reason we all keep going
yeah.
is that myself is love coming to work. I think it makes
it.
You know, I know that.
Yes.
I know, because when I see you girls, when I see you in the shopping centre, I see you right, and you actually have such a laugh.
Yeah, we have a good time.
I
yeah.
always say, it's in a trust
me,
it's in a made
yes.
choice in their career, do something you love because
yeah.
you do well. And I know it's a very cliche thing, but we honestly, even when I'm always actually look forward to coming back
yeah.
because.
Yeah.
You miss, it's completely different to my normal life as a mother of teenagers
yeah.
and, you know, God, it's a completely different life. And my husband says, when are you going
to
stop working? I thought, well,
you
do
don't
what?
Want to.
Yeah.
To do what?
To do what?
Stay home
yeah.
with you.
Well,
start playing golf.
But, Barbara, we have a really good work balance
yeah.
ratio.
Yeah,
so we exercise. And,
yeah.
you know, Kay and I always say, as long as we exercise, we're happy to do the
yeah.
long hours. We find the time to complement our own personal life
yeah.
with
yeah.
our business.
And you can
yeah.
support each other.
Yes,
yeah.
yes.
Your
but
lives,
our business,
yeah.
our business, our job is social. So
yeah.
every day it's meeting 10, 15 women with all different stories.
And then,
I mean, celebrities, it's
yeah.
girls who've come from Dubbo, girls have come from Whoop Whoop,
yeah.
you know, international
yeah.
women,
yeah, I
saw expats.
That. Some international women.
So many,
yeah.
so many. But so it's nice because you've got the relationship, and often clients often say to me, gosh, how did you remember that? I don't know, but
yeah.
I always
remember
fun facts about
yeah,
everybody.
About
but it's
everyone.
Yeah, it's good.
You've got everyone's dirty laundry, right?
Yeah,
more than I do.
Absolutely. So it's all good. Everything's
yeah.
positive.
This girls, that's been really fabulous. Having, I mean,
thanks,
just for someone, for two women, I love the partnership thing, and
yeah.
being in partnership
yeah.
so successfully for so long. It's
yeah.
just, it's really gold
it's
to
rare.
Have you on the show.
Yeah, it's rare.
It
yeah.
is rare,
yeah.
and it's really gold to have you on the show. So
thank you very much.
Thank you to everyone for watching again for another week, and remember that you'll catch me later this week on my podcast on iTunes, where I'm going to be giving you my key takeouts from today's show. But also, I'm going to be changing it up again next week. I'm actually going to be joined on the show by a man. I'm going to be joined by Thomas Castay, and we're going to be talking about how he created an award-winning documentary out of thin air. See you then.